Hi, this is Trisha Draper.
And this is Marcus Draper.
And these, we are the Messengers.
That's right.
And if you found us, you know we are on themessengersradio.com.
Or possibly you saw us on a post on Facebook.
That's true.
And we are on Facebook. We're on Twitter.
YouTube
very soon. So it's going to be really neat. We're gonna actually, you don't have to just hear us. You have to actually look at us, too, someday.
I don't know about that. I might have to fix my hair.
Pull it back. I might have to fix my hair, too. For those of you rather that can't see me, I have my head shaved, almost shaved, so I don't have much hair.
Not much hair. All right, well, we are just going to do a quick little session with you today. I was reading in 1 Corinthians today, and I found that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul said something interesting that really caught my eye. He was writing to the Corinthians, and I'll just read it to you. "When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." This is what I found interesting. "I came to you in weakness and fear with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power." I found this very interesting because I got to thinking about Paul and how he was born superior. He was raised to be superior. He was raised in all the knowledge of the Romans, and he was a Jew and was a, what are those called? What was Pilate?
Pilate was, well, he was
not a, Pilate, the Caiaphas.
He was a high priest.
He was a high priest, but what are the other ones called?
Pharisees.
Yes, he was a Pharisee.
Pharisees. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, he was a Pharisee, and so he knew the books of the Bible very, very well. He was very intelligent, a very, very intelligent man, and he was well known and well respected. And so it caught my eye when it said, when he told the Corinthians, "I came to you in weakness and fear with much trembling." And I got to talk to Marcus about it, and he, tell them a little bit about what you explained about how far he had to fall.
Right. Well, the word says, I don't want to misquote it. If you want to be strong, you have to become weak. Mm-hmm. So that's basically what Paul had to do. Mm-hmm. He had to take everything that he had been taught, book-wise. He had been taught these things from birth. He was very well versed in what the scripture said, just like Caiaphas was, mm-hmm. just like all the other scribes and everything. But Paul had to be taken to a point where he had everything just stripped away.
Completely.
Because in the beginning, you know, he was persecuting, not only persecuting the Christians or the believers, the new believers in Christ, he was also killing them. So he was boasting about it. He was to the point where he was like, you know, I'm killing these Christians for God, mm-hmm. because they're blasphemers, they're heretics, they're all these words that would describe somebody that was against God. Mm-hmm. So he thought what he was doing was good. He thought what he was doing was great. So he's on the road, trying to find Peter. He's going to find Peter because he wants to kill Peter, because Peter had just caused a lot of problems with him. Well, in the middle of the road going towards
Damascus.
It was the Damascus Road. Mm-hmm. So in the middle of the Damascus Road, they had stopped for the night, I think. I can't remember if they had stopped for the night or they were just stopped for a few minutes to take a drink or whatever. Anyway.
We don't know.
Paul had his vision taken from him by Jesus. He saw Jesus. The other people heard him, but he actually saw Jesus. And Jesus said, "Paul, Paul, why are you persecuting me?
He said, Saul. Why are you persecuting me?
Well, they sounded close. So anyway, yeah, his name was Saul back before he was Paul, before he became a believer. So anyway, so he, yeah, he, what he did was he had his vision removed from him. And he said, go to Damascus. Was it Damascus?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, there somebody will come and pray for you and you'll have your eyes, your vision restored.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what happened. And so once that happened and once the disciple came and prayed and he had his vision restored, Saul at the time understood exactly what was happening.
He knew that Jesus was the Christ and
right.
that he was Lord.
Exactly.
The Son of God.
So that's kind of the backstory of what happened. I forgot he was called Saul. That's kind of the backstory of what happened because he says, you know, if he thought he was the strongest, the best Christian or the best believer in the world. He thought he was better than Caiaphas.
Mm-hmm.
He really did.
He did.
But he had to become weak in order for him to be strong.
So that Jesus could make him strong and
right.
use him.
So he had to completely...
Lose everything.
Lose everything. He had to forget about... You know, he had to forget about all those man-made doctrines that were instilled
mm-hmm.
upon him. Because those things had to become on the wayside. Those things had to go on the side so that they would not interfere with what he was going to be taught, with what the truth was.
They had to become less so Jesus could become more.
Right.
So I just thought that was interesting that he came to that point that he was in weakness and fear with much trembling. It was like he was starting over completely on a new task. And usually when you start something new, you're kind of like, eh. I am anyway.
Yeah.
Like, oh, am I doing this right?
New job.
Yeah. You're just a little nervous about it usually because it's something different. And this was totally different than what he had ever experienced before.
Right. Right. So I know also in John 3:30 it says, he must become greater and I must become less.
Yes.
So that's another scripture we can look at that shows us that we must, and I'm sure people have seen the, you know, the less than sign, me, the greater than sign, Jesus, or the greater than sign, him. There's bumper stickers out like that. There's different things that you can see upon that people will, you know, put on their cars or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it just goes to show you must relinquish your life when you become a believer. It is something that you have to do
mm-hmm.
because God can't work through you if you're trying to do things on your own.
That's right. One of the things in the journals that I tell you guys about all the time, one of the things he tells me is take you out of the equation.
Yeah.
So it has to be all about him and I. It can't be me. It has to be him.
Right.
So just take you out of the equation.
So don't do what Frank Sinatra tried to do when he sang his song, his famous song, I'll Do It My Way.
Mm. It won't work.
Yeah, I think it would have been a better song if he would have said, I'll do it Jesus' way.
That's right. That would have been the best song of all. So it just goes on to say, he says, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, which is probably what he was used to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was used to being an orator and speaking in front of people and telling people what to do with wise and persuasive words. But he came with a demonstration of the Spirit's powers.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that he did miraculous signs and wonders, and that's where he got that power from the Spirit.
Right.
And then the people saw the Spirit, that Jesus' Spirit had, the Holy Spirit through Jesus had the power, and they believed in that power. But he did that, he became weak and fearful so that their faith might not rest on men's wisdom, his wisdom, what he said or thought or did.
Right.
It rested on God's power. So it was interesting that he had to lose himself to gain Jesus.
Right.
And then he had to go to the people in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Right. Then you can also say like this, you know, he had to lose himself to find himself. in Christ.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
That was just something little that I came upon today, and we just wanted to share that with you real quick, and just add to the little tidbits that we will be adding here and there. So, it's not as long as our regular show used to be, but we're imparting wisdom at different times.
Right.
But we love you guys, and we will talk to you soon.
I'd like to, if you're listening to this and you're listening to the end of this, I'd like to have you guys see what you guys thought about that TV series AD if you watched it. Leave us a comment, send us an email. You know, tell us what you thought, what you liked, what you didn't like. Mm-hmm. Did you like how it ended? It's kind of like, I don't want to give anything away, but, you know, did you like how it ended? Do you think they're going to do another
series
book? Because this was all about the book of Acts. This part was. So, anyway, I just thought I'd leave you with that. And
one more thing before we leave. This is one thing we need to do usually before we end, is let's go ahead and end in prayer. And if anybody out there does not know Jesus as their personal mm-hmm. Lord and Savior, Marcus will lead you in a prayer. And just know that in Romans 9 and 10, it says, I'm sorry, I thought he pulled it up.
Romans 10, 9 through 10.
9 through 10.
It says, and this is out of the Amplified. Because if you acknowledge and confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord in your heart, is Lord, and in your heart believe or adhere to, trust in, and rely on the truth that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That was 9. And Romans 10:10 says, for the heart a person believes or adheres to or trusts in and relies on Christ, and so is justified, or declared righteous, acceptable to God, and with the mouth he confesses, or declares openly and speaks out freely his faith and confirms his salvation. So, just kind of, that's a long way to put it. So let's look at it in the NIV. So we're looking at Romans 10, 9 and 10, and that's going to be Romans 10, let's see, 9 and 10. All right, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved.
Yeah,
so that kind of, the Amplified really kind of
drags it out.
But it's a great thing to, it's a great resource to read, because
to
it will
study.
Tell you more about.
But so, those are the things you need to do. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart
that God raised him from the dead. And you also need to repent of your sins. You need to turn away from your sins. Repent means to turn away. Also, do it no longer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does that mean you're going to do that? No. Does that mean I'm able to quit sinning and not do the same thing over and over again? No.
No.
You know, I'm still a sinful person. I mm-hmm. still sin. But
we can repent, because God, when Jesus died on that cross, he forgave us for all of our sins,
not
past,
just the believers,
present, and future.
Right, not just believers, but also non-believers.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's important that we need to spread the gospel, to share the gospel. Mm-hmm. We don't need to do it in a hateful way. We don't need to do it in a way that offends other people.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes you can't help but offend somebody when you tell them the truth,
mm-hmm.
because they take offense when you point out that they are a sinner and that they are sinning and what they are doing is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but don't throw it in their face and
rub it
in their face.
You need to come at them with love.
Yes,
and that's the way Jesus did it, and that's the way we all should do it.
Mm-hmm. So let's just end with a little prayer. And
okay. Well, Father, we just thank you right now for your word. We thank you right now for 1 Corinthians, for what you showed Trisha today. Father, we thank you for what we already know. But Father, we just thank you that the people that are listening out there right now, that they would have a heart that would be open to receive your word. Not just your word, and not just words that come out of our mouth. Father, we just ask that those words would be life and life abundant coming out of our mouths, and that they would be received that way. So Father, let this word just sink into their spirit, and let your truth, Father, just come forward And we just love everyone out there, and thank you. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen. Bye.
You've been listening to the Messengers Radio Program.